If you've ever felt like you just can't let go of your toxic ex, if you've ever felt like you just can't disconnect from the past, and there's an unseen force pulling you back towards someone who you know is not good for you, you might be experiencing a trauma bond. I'll be interviewing the trauma bond expert, Eve Bradley. We will be discussing all about how the bonds come to be, some of the pitfalls to breaking them, and what you can do in practical ways to start breaking this bond for yourself. Living with an emotional abuser and suffering from a trauma bond is one thing when you are repeatedly trying to escape and break free, but it's important to know that trauma bonds can last beyond the breakup. They can be so strong that you feel like you'll never be able to move on. But stay tuned, because in my discussion with the fantastic Eve Bradley, you're going to learn all about how this works and what you can do today to start changing and step into your truest and most authentic self. Welcome to the Emotional Abuse Recovery Podcast, a podcast specifically designed to help you heal after a toxic or narcissistic relationship. This podcast teaches you to use your subconscious mind to go from feeling stuck to set free. In here, you will learn how to use the power of your own mind to free yourself from emotional pain, move forward with confidence, and experience the inner peace you deserve in your healing journey after emotional abuse. I'm your host and subconscious reprogramming coach, Allison Dagny. So let's get started. All right, everybody. Today we have a really, really special guest that I'm super excited to talk to. And her name is Eve Bradley. Some of you may already know her. And she is an abuse recovery mentor for breaking a trauma bond. And I thought this would be a really awesome conversation for us to have, to bring to you some practical ideas, tips, help, suggestions, and that sort of thing. And so what I'd love to do right out of the gate is just, Eve, let you introduce yourself, tell everybody who you are and what you're about.
Well, hello. Hello, everybody. Thank you for having me. So, as you say, I am an abuse recovery mentor, and I specialize in working mainly with women to break trauma bonds. So right at those really early stages of coming out of a domestic or a narcissistic abusive relationship, to really kind of empower and educate and help us all to understand that often what we're experiencing isn't as out of the norm as we might feel at the time, because in that moment we can feel incredibly isolated and confused and just stuck and really not knowing what is going on and why this is happening. And I like to help people to understand that they are not, there's nothing wrong with them, they're not alone, they are experiencing something that is a very normal response to a really abnormal situation. And that the body and the mind and the spirit are all trying to protect you in this moment. But as we can recognize, it's not resulting in really a healthy experience. And so by kind of doing some reprogramming, doing some bond breaking and cord cutting and some really practical, actionable things that can release us and help us to let go of this phase of our experience, so that we can then move into the real healing work where the growth starts to happen.
Absolutely. I love that. And, you know, I was just thinking as you were talking, because you and I have been connected for a long time on social
media. Yeah, we have.
And I remember having a conversation with you. I don't remember how long ago it was, but it was several months ago. And you had mentioned to me, because I said, oh, I don't think I was ever trauma bonded, because in my particular situation, I was married for 17 years, but then after that, I escaped and I was out and I was done, right? I did not have any desire to go back. Mm-hmm. You had said to me, well, there is a possibility that you were trauma bonded during the relationship, right? And and the light bulb just went off, because I was like, oh, I never really considered the fact that, you know, the whole time that I was married to this person, that I couldn't get out, that I was so stuck and I was struggling with all this inner turmoil, that was actually part of being in that bond.
Yes, absolutely. That is exactly it. That is the that feeling of being stuck in that cycle and not being able to break it, or being able to recognize at some point we can have moments of clarity where we think this is not okay, what is going on, but then not having it in us to leave. And often, and validly so, we tend to put it down to logistical reasons. We can't leave because of the kids, because of money, because where are we going to live? Where am I going to work? How am I going to do it? And so that is the trauma bond at work, using really rational thoughts that are basically perpetuating and facilitating this connection, which is happening at such a deep level. And is really, it's fundamentally about hormones, about neurotransmitters. It's really about human existence, and it's kind of creating this dependency on this situation in order to keep us in that cycle, keep us experiencing what's going on, so that the body knows what to do. It's not something that's happening for any kind of sinister reason from the victim's point of view. It really is a coping mechanism for the harm that you're experiencing and the danger that you're in, whether that's emotional or physical danger.
Right, because our brain wants to keep us safe. And so whatever that means, even though it might not make sense logically, like you said, if we're trying,
well, familiarity is safety, yeah, to the brain. So if it can get a measure of all the different factors, and if it knows that in that situation it survived before, then it's going to survive again. And so that familiarity keeps us in that loop. And that's that subconscious is about familiarity. It's not about growth always. It's about keeping us inside the familiar surroundings, familiar experiences, so it knows how to get us as far into the future as possible, because that's ultimately what it's concerned with on a physical level. It's about keeping this body alive for as long as possible, and that's its primary goal.
Absolutely. The survival piece. I love that. And I love how you phrase that, the familiarity. And that's, you know, that's how we're wired. So that's
as people that have experienced abuse, we know that familiarity is not always safe.
Right.
But at that subconscious level, that's the kind of the dissonance that we experience, is that we can have these moments of clarity where we know we're not safe consciously, but subconsciously it's familiar, and we know how to kind of gauge the different experiences, and as you say, go into things like survival mode to just keep us moving into the future.
Great. So what I'd love to know, because not a lot of people know about your story, is I want to know how your personal story, if you feel comfortable sharing, has brought you to where you are today. Tell us a little bit about that and the journey, and how, because now you're out here helping other people, you know, experience the, you know, healing that you've experienced. So how did you come to be where you are now?
So, I mean, like with everybody, it's a long story. So I'll try and keep it to a manageable length. But I was in two relationships that were abusive. So I was married to a guy who was he was an alcoholic, and he was physically abusive for 7 years. For 6 years, and then I fell pretty much instantly into the arms of somebody who was much more emotionally and psychologically abusive, and really fits the criteria when it comes to narcissistic abuse. He was incredibly sinister in his approach, and like for so many, I had no idea what was going on until really towards the end of the relationship, and most of my clarity has come outside of it. At the time, I was in that survival mode that we've just been describing, pretty much from the get-go, and it's that classic kind of death by paper cuts, you know, just those moments, those broken promises, those insults, those twisted logic, gaslighting, mirroring, you know, a completely different persona, all the love bombing, everything, you know, real textbook experience. And the same when it came to the trauma bond. Similarly to you, Alison, is that I did a lot of my trauma bond breaking inside the relationship, or certainly that's what I was trying to do. I didn't know that that's what was happening at the time. I didn't even know what a trauma bond was until the last time that I tried to leave. But I did go back. I tried to leave and I went back 6 times. And it was on the 7th time, which again is the average statistic, completely textbook experience, was that on the 7th time, I stopped seeking for help in trying to fix the relationship. Every single time I left, I would take to Google. I'm such a pragmatic person. I want to find a solution to every problem. And so I would leave and I would be in this space. And sometimes I'd be discarded. Sometimes I would leave of my you know, to kind of get away. Mm-hmm. And we all had these like maybe 3 or 4 day breaks from each other. And in that time, obviously, my nervous system was able to identify I was in a safe space. I was able to get a moment of clarity. And then I would take to the internet to try to understand what was going on and how I could fix it. And I was really asking Google for help with fixing a relationship, improving communication, you know, trying to get an explanation and understanding as to why he was behaving in this way. And on the last time when I left, and this, the difference with the last time was that I was pregnant on that 7th time. But I stopped asking Google for ways to fix my relationship. And I asked it, why can't I leave? Why can't I get away from this guy that I know is abusive, but I just seem to be drawn back. I physically felt dependent on him. I felt in pain when I wasn't around him, and I was experiencing these real, what I would describe as withdrawals, this what feels like an addiction to a person.
Yeah.
And that's when I came across the term trauma bond, when I was trying to find that out. And the minute I read the two words, it's like that inner wisdom was activated, and it just was the absolute definition of what I was experiencing. And then the more I read, the more it was confirmed to me. And that was when I started to I stopped going back once I knew what it was, which I think is a really important thing. And I think a lot of people will align to that experience, is once you know there's a label for this or a term for it, it makes it a much more valid experience, and therefore it empowers you to kind of go down the route of understanding the trauma bond rather than being kind of pulled into it. However, having the knowledge is one thing, but this is something that's happening at, like we've just described, a nervous system, subconscious level. There's an emotional aspect, a psychological aspect to it. There's an energetic aspect going on as well. And so actually, even though we can kind of get a lot of information about it and we can empower ourselves with information, we do still have to take some practical actions to address this. Otherwise, we find ourselves stuck in the loop, maybe outside of the relationship, but still stuck in the cycle, still dependent on the same chemical pattern that we've experienced in there. So when we're experiencing stress in other aspects of our life, very quickly our mind will present us with thoughts about going back to the person, or thoughts about, you know, did I get it wrong, or I would really like to have contact. Because as we've said earlier, the subconscious is really lazy. It really is only interested in keeping us to, you know, in familiarity and giving and meeting our needs as quickly as possible. And that doesn't always align with our own beliefs about ourselves, or our conscious beliefs anyway. Mm-hmm. And so when it does that, it can very quickly present us with these thoughts about the perpetrator. And even though we might know we don't want to speak with the perpetrator, or we don't want to spend time thinking about them, when we're experiencing those hormones, those neurotransmitters that are ahead in the cycle, it really does try to kind of bring us back into the loop, because it knows that it's a quick and easy way to get the fix and move through this cycle of hormones and neurotransmitters, which I'll just say are adrenaline, cortisol, dopamine, and oxytocin. So as you can imagine, if you're experiencing stress at work, you might have an elevated level of cortisol. Well, very quickly, your mind is going and your body are going to seek out dopamine. And dopamine is a reward chemical. It's what happens when we reconcile after an outburst. So if an abusive person has been, you know, the mask has slipped, they've shown their true colours and they've been, you know, overtly abusive in one way or another, very afterwards when we get the promises, the apologies, or we take responsibility for their actions, which is another very common experience. If we believe that we need to adjust our behaviors, all of that is a dopamine generator. And so when we experience that stress, we might start to go into self-gaslight mode, or we might try and seek out some sort of communication or connection with them, whether it's a physical connection or whether it's just through thought. You know, it's it doesn't have to be that we're experiencing, you know, we're constantly on the phone to them and trying to get back together or reconnect. It can be that our thoughts might go for days where they just start to replay things over and over in our head in an attempt to seek out some dopamine.
Yeah, our bodies are so amazing and our brains are so complex. And like you had said earlier, like you're addicted to a person, and it's literally the chemicals in your body that are keeping you in that position. And it's literally, you have to start, like you said, taking action, because we can learn all the things. We can read all the books, watch all the YouTube videos. And, you know, I stayed in this phase for a really long time, and I see it all the time. I see, and you probably do too.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a really important piece though, because like you said,
it's empowering with knowledge. Yes. It's really, really important.
It is.
But it to shift into growth, to shift into application of that knowledge, to really embody that knowledge and to use it to grow into this next phase of your life, you've got to start doing things.
That's right. Because we can learn and we can be empowered with the knowledge, because that is, like you said, a very, very important piece. But I see a lot of people almost get stuck in that phase, in the learning phase, where we're just constantly absorbing information about the other person, about the abuser, about the personality disorder itself. And
it's interesting you say that, because one thing that I speak a lot with my clients about, because obviously the trauma bond, one of the main signs and symptoms of a trauma bond, or the main experiences, is that you want to connect with them. You want to see if they've changed. You want to be drawn into their company for this next hit. And often the rationalization that can be used is that you want to understand more about them, or you want to kind of confirm the lessons that you've learned. And one of the things that I say is, by the time you have come to the realization that you're being abused, this person has taught you all of the lessons. It's just a case now of really integrating them, applying them, and having that confidence in yourself that you have learned these lessons and that you can now take your next steps with them as part of your lived experience, and not try to confirm them all the time.
Wow, that's really profound. I mean, that really is something not a lot of people really consider and think about. So I'm glad that you brought that up. That's really, really interesting. So tell me a little bit more, because we talked about the trauma bond, but there are people out there who maybe this is the first time that they're ever even hearing the word. So, you know, aside from the chemical piece, and aside from it being an addiction of chemicals and to the person, what are some things that people might, you know, the first time that they're thinking about leaving, or the first time that they're like, something's wrong, they're having these thoughts, what are some pretty good indicators that you are being, or that you are in a trauma bond?
Yeah, so, oh gosh, there's so many signs. Some of them are more obvious than others, and they don't all appear in each situation. So so certainly continually thinking about somebody, and this really does apply whether you're in the relationship or outside of the relationship. And when I say thinking about them, there is an aspect that it is useful to ruminate on things that we're trying to process. That is how the body processes trauma. So it's not completely, you know, it's not a huge red flag if you're thinking about someone. It's when they are having an impact on your decision making. So it's like they live in your head. The things that you do, the things that you think about, are often, first of all, based on their behaviors in the past or the way that you've learned, because this is a really important thing that we learn to do, is that we preempt what they are going to do or say in order to protect ourselves, because we're in a very unsafe situation, you know, emotionally and physically. And so that walking on eggshells thing that we experience inside the relationship, that begins to live on in our thoughts and thinking about what would they do or say in this situation, what would they think about me in this situation, how would they respond, that kind of thought. And this is this for people that are in that trauma bond, really, you know, those early stages, this is happening in all waking moments practically, because it's part of the, you know, the techniques of an abuser are to get inside the victim's head so that they have got full power and control over them and what they do. So this kind of thing lives on. And so that's the main one that people experience. Other things are things like not wanting to accept help, making excuses for the behaviors, not engaging, distancing yourself from people that have tried to alert you to behaviors that they're concerned about, dreams and nightmares continually about an abuser, and they don't have to be negative ones, they can be positive ones, a fixation on the good times, because we've spoken about that physical aspect of the trauma bond, but the approach that I've developed and that I work with my clients and the people that I support to help is that the trauma bond is really, there's three layers to a trauma bond. There's a physical aspect, which we've discussed with those hormones, those neurotransmitters. There's an emotional aspect, which is where we're experiencing a lot of this thing called cognitive dissonance, where we're unable to get grounded in our reality, where we justify behaviors, where we self-gaslight, where we take responsibility for other people's behaviors, where we doubt our experience, we doubt our truth. That's the real emotional level of the trauma bond. And then there's this energetic one, this kind of spiritual, etheric cord, you know, this feeling that we're in some way connected to them, we're destined to them. People describe soul connections, soulmates, karmic partners, all of that kind of language, which I think can be really helpful for us to kind of conceptualize what's going on, and utilizing some of the techniques to release a lot of that is really powerful. And it's almost like the last stage of breaking a trauma bond is where we have to really do the letting go. And it's not enough to say we let go. We have to kind of communicate that letting go to our subconscious in a language it understands. And our subconscious doesn't speak the language that we speak to one another. It speaks in action. It speaks in visualizations, in images, in being able to hear things. And that's one of the kind of key aspects that I use with my ACT release divert method to break a trauma bond, is that we find out whether your subconscious is more visual, more auditory, or whether it's more kinesthetic. And releasing those cords, for somebody who's a real kinesthetic hands-on processor, it involves really cutting things. It involves getting things and a pair of scissors and really cutting them and communicating to your subconscious that you are ready to break those bonds and really let go. So yeah, that's that kind of the other aspects of the trauma bond that are out there, the signs that we are feeling really, really addicted, really tied to this person, just unable to move on. And we know it's unhealthy. We know deep down what we're experiencing is unhealthy. We know that if somebody was experiencing that about us, we wouldn't want them to, you know, or if we imagine somebody else is experiencing it, it doesn't sound enjoyable. And yeah, there's many, many subtle signs of a trauma bond that really do show up in our everyday life, but the thoughts about them is that main sign that action needs to be taken.
Right. And I love that in your program, you talk about, you know, and you said action, release, and divert. You know, the knowledge, the understanding obviously is the first part. And then the action, you taking action and then releasing it, which really is interesting how you talked about the kinesthetic versus the, you know, the visual and able to kind of find ways symbolically in our world or in our life.
Yeah. And with when we match it with intention, the kind of the key is that we can do anything. That when we match it with an intention, when we add an energy and an emotion and a feeling to the action we're about to take, that's the bit our subconscious understands. And so the more actions we can take that are really practical, and they can be like listening to a meditation, that kind of ticks a couple of the boxes in that, you know, like a visualization or a guided meditation, but it also going outside and breaking a few sticks in half or chopping or taking an axe to a piece of wood and really intentionally communicating your desire to break these ties, to break this bond, to let go.
Right.
And it doesn't always happen instantly, but a couple of days later, things start to shift. And that's the thing with the subconscious as well. It isn't an instant response. It always at least needs one night's sleep, if not a couple, before it started to integrate what your intention was. But yeah, it's powerful, and it's really actionable, and it's something we can fit into our day. It doesn't have to be stuff that we've sat down and said, right, I've blocked out an hour, now I'm going to work on my healing. Yeah. That's just not practical. Most of us are moms, or we've certainly got busy lives, and that isn't practical. But if you can spend 5 minutes every day on an intentional action, that trauma bond weakens in strength very, very quickly.
Right. There's a lot going on in our subconscious minds. There are neural pathways that we're rewiring. And so that intentional action, like you're talking about, it's not enough just to go outside and break sticks, or
you have to match it with that journal intention,
or to do a meditation. You have to bring in the emotion and bring in the intention and pair it, because that's how your subconscious understands. And so that's why we remember things that are very traumatic in our lives, because
it's
paired with something typically really emotional. And then that stores that in our mind. So in order to break that, like you said, we have to bring in that emotion, bring in that intention to the action that we're experiencing, to kind of weaken those neural pathways and then strengthen ones that are more beneficial.
Yeah, kind of redirect them, reinitiate, reinstigate the pathways to move into a new direction. And that's where the process kind of carries on, so that when you're doing that and you're taking that action, obviously we're going to generate, it's going to bring stuff up. We're going to generate this kind of energy or this opportunity to heal. And that's where that release stage comes in, you know, so really practical ways that you can release through communication, through creativity, through connecting with other people, those ways of letting go of those things that have come up, then opens up the space for the opportunity to divert. And the divert isn't away from yourself, it's towards yourself. So as you open up that space, now you've got an opportunity to start to explore the things that are really authentic to yourself and are really going to facilitate you to connect with yourself, to grow and to expand and to just become that best version of yourself that, you know, we all know deep down we've got inside us. And it's finding the ways to express that and confirm that to ourselves and really apply it in our life, so that we're feeling good about ourselves and our self-worth is just going up and up and up, and life's good.
Absolutely. So what would be some ways that people would know what their style is, you know, whether they are visual?
I used to use quite, you know, my own kind of observation when I was working with women through the NLP training that I've had, in terms of being able to identify how people process and how people best work through things. And just through lots of kind of research, that one of the things that when we were just discussing my story and when I realized what a trauma bond was, I was exactly like you were describing, like you say, you just taking in this information. I knew so much about the trauma bond. I was reading research papers, books, listening to podcasts, or watching YouTube videos. I knew what the trauma bond was. And when I was looking for ways to break it, I was just coming up completely and utterly blank. And it took a little while, because I was not feeling particularly good about myself. In fact, I had awful self-worth. I barely recognized myself. And then one day I had this moment and I was like, You're a pragmatic person. You've got a problem, you solve it, apply the knowledge, apply that physical, apply what you know about the hormones, hack those hormones so that, deliver yourself dopamine in a healthy way. Don't kind of get the dopamine from the easiest source, get it from the healthiest source. You are recognizing that you're not grounded in reality. Well, how do you get grounded in reality? You really journal on your experiences, you get really clear about where you are, and you radically accept what's going on. And you don't worry about what everyone else is thinking in that moment. You really accept your truth as the truth. And then you take it from there. And if other things start to come up that contradict that truth, then you adjust your truth, but you don't just deny it all. And that's what we do. We just deny everything because it's too painful. And then when it came to the energetic stuff, do the cord cutting, release those ties, say the mantras, really cleanse the energy, work on that energy healing stuff. And it just worked. It worked so quickly. And I thought this is where it started to then develop into this method that I started to share with other people. Obviously, it took a while, and it took a lot of working with others and finding that it worked for them as well. But yeah, so through that, I developed this metric that I was using with my one-to-one clients, where we would go through a series of questions and I would try and listen to what they were saying, and I'd determine whether they were more in the physical phase of the trauma bond, whether they were in that emotional stage, where they're experiencing a lot of cognitive dissonance and they just couldn't fathom that the person that they experienced at the end was the same as the one at the beginning, and often felt that they were trying to get back to that person at the beginning, and they knew that they were in there somewhere, and that's just sadly not the case. And that then there were those that were struggling with this sense that they were just constantly, they were like psychically connected to them in some way. It was like it was some sort of out of this world experience, and they just couldn't seem to shake them. And so I developed this metric very organically. But since then, it has been turned into an online test. So it's available for anybody to go and do. You can go and do it right now. It's at the survivorsupportnetwork.com. And you can take the test, and it will tell you whether you are presenting with a more dominant physical, emotional, or energetic trauma bond. And it'll also tell you whether your subconscious processing style is more visual, auditory, or kinesthetic. And you'll receive the results in an email. You'll also receive three things that you can do that are specifically kind of targeted towards your bond type and your processing style. And you can get some next steps if you want to explore some other things that you can do. But yeah, it's now an online test, so anybody can find out.
That is really neat. I love that because so many of us who have experienced abuse or trauma from a toxic relationship or something like that, one, don't really know that they're in a trauma bond. I mean, I was one of those people. I had no idea. And I didn't even know that that word existed like you. But also that we don't know, like you said, how, like when you had that revelation of like, okay, I know all the things, but how do I stop this? How do I break this? How do I get past it? And that's a huge part. You know what I do is dealing with the subconscious mind. I talked about that too. But learning and understanding the best ways to deal with it for yourself personally, because not every person is the same. Not every person is wired. I mean, yes, our brains are wired the same, but not every person has the same processing level, the
That's
same
right.
processing
That's exactly right.
strategy. We don't all, receive information in the same ways because we all have different filters.
That's
So
exactly it.
what do you talk when you talk about this with your clients that you have, people in your program, and you, because I, the subconscious mind is where I really like just get super excited. So when I hear you say those things, you had talked about communicating with your subconscious. So what, when you talk about how do you communicate with your subconscious and what ways does that present itself in the programs that you have?
So yeah, so as we were saying about that kind of intentional action that aligns to your processing style. So in the program there are it's as we've kind of described through this, there's a section that really educates so that you've got a really good understanding about the trauma bond. And then very quickly we move on to a 6-week strategy, which is 6 weeks of actions that you take every single day that fit in with those act, release, divert. kind of umbrellas, because it's not something you can't do all the action for 6 weeks and then do 6 weeks of releasing and then 6 weeks of diversion. It doesn't work like that. It's about those kind of, it's a multi-dimensional strategy. So actions can be things like affirmations. Now, affirmations is a really good example of when they don't work if you're not using your correct processing style. Because if you are a kinesthetic processor, listening to an affirmation or seeing it somewhere, it just won't go in. Right. Your brain just won't even recognize it. Write it down 10 times, though, and things have all started to shift and change. And that's really where my clients see huge breakthroughs, is when we start to do things that they can feel working, but also they feel much more comfortable doing. So they might have tried doing a meditation where they lie down and they just can't lie down and listen to it, and they feel like they're doing it wrong, like there's something wrong with them. And actually, once they go out and do a walking meditation and find that doing a practical, attaching a practical action into it, that they love it, and they're able to really develop some really good mindful practices and develop that side of themselves. So
that's really interesting, because in people, like I've heard people say, I can't meditate, like I don't meditate, because they think that they have to sit
in quiet in the bed, you know, with all the candles going, which, you know, that's the way I love to meditate. Yeah. But I recognize that it just doesn't work for everybody. And things like walking meditations or meditations that are much more involved in you looking around. So often we associate meditation with really kind of going in, but it's about developing space between your thoughts. So that doesn't have to happen in the kind of traditional way that we right. as a society kind of think of meditation. There are different ways, and we can get creative about it. And the same with journaling. You know, some people find that journaling, where they just kind of do a stream of thoughts, works for them. Others find list making to be much more powerful, or, you know, all the different styles of journaling. That really just depends on what kind. And if you're an auditory processor, journaling might not be the thing for you at all, but recording voice notes, really powerful.
Right.
And so it's kind of just opening up. And the thing with the trauma bond is that it's so consuming that even things that we may have known in the past and or that make total sense, our brain just hasn't got the space for them. So by kind of accessing support and resources from people that are able to kind of just gently reintroduce you to some things that you might already know you like doing or might already know work, can be really, really helpful as well. Because I know in a trauma bond, you can't hardly tell what time of day it is, let alone, you know, so having that intentional kind of strategy that is, and it's the planner that I use, it's so interactive. You can put all your other stuff for the day on it as well. And it's just got a link through to your action for that day or your resource for that day. And then it just links into my library, where there's over 70 different resources that help to kind of either communicate with your subconscious to release some of the energy that's building up or some of the emotion or experience that's building up, or, you know, to celebrate through release as well, you know, as it's working, but also to divert so that you can really kind of get to know yourself more and reconnect with your identity and start doing things that feel good to you. And like I say, once you're doing stuff that your subconscious processing, that matches your subconscious processing stuff, it does become enjoyable. And that's the kind of thing that people love it. They just love that they're taking that time for themselves, even if it's 5-10 minutes a day.
Yeah.
It's starting to reintroduce yourself to yourself, which when you're in an abusive relationship, you lose that connection.
Absolutely. And that's something that you probably understand very well. Mm. I definitely do. And a lot of people listening do, that the focus throughout the relationship was so much on the other person. It was
just meeting their needs constantly, even trying to preempt needs that we don't even know whether they were going to need them or not.
Anticipating it. Yeah.
Exhausting.
It is. And so then switching that, flipping it back to focusing on us, because especially in the case of when you have someone who's highly narcissistic, it's all about them. It's all about what they want, what's, you know, going to be best for them, what their needs are. And so if we spend the whole entire relationship catering to that person and putting them first, and we are always in last place, we are always taking a back seat. So I love that diverting piece of what you do, because it does, it brings that focus back on you. And that's something that I always talk about, is that in my program, what we do is focus on what we can control, what's going on inside of us that we can change, because we can't change the other person. We can't make them love us more. We can't make them behave differently, you know? And if we're spending all day, like you said earlier, with these thoughts going through our heads, because we have that particular connection, whether it's spiritual, whether it's emotional, whether a physical type of a connection to that person that we want to break or we want to get rid of.
There's a fear. There's a fear in that, you know, that when we do open up that space, because so much of our existence and our identity has been wrapped up in the relationship and meeting their needs, there is like a fear there that what are we going to do with that? And so that's why that aspect for me is the one that really, really locks in the progress. And it really kind of, because I do remember, you know, when I was out there looking for, I was in a lot of Facebook groups, you know, accessing support from some incredible people on the internet. And they were, when it came to the trauma bond, the advice, which is solid advice, is time, let it, you know, let time pass, which it's valid advice, but there's so much more in taking action, in really, you know, being intentional about how you spend the time, even if it's a short amount of time each day, than it is than just thinking that if I don't do anything for 6 months, it'll feel better, because actually often it can feel worse because we feel like we should be much further forward than we are. Self-love, which again, great advice, but when you've been in an abusive relationship, how do you show yourself self-love? What does that look like? That's so alien, you know. It's like you need to be shown, well, this is what self-love is, doing this is self-love, because it's just such a strange concept. I remember the first time I ran away the last time, I came to my parents' house, and I remember I was pregnant and my eldest daughter was downstairs with my mom, and I went into the bathroom and I locked the door, which was the first time that I'd done that in years, because that wouldn't have been okay in our relationship for me to lock myself in the bathroom. I must have been hiding something if I was doing that. So that was a big thing for me. And then to sit in the bath guilt-free, that was a real journey to actually being able to take that time just to bathe, just to wash, without feeling like I was anticipating what I was going to come out of the bath to, or what I would need to do that evening, you know, just like you say, constantly trying to meet or anticipate their needs. And yeah, that was a real journey to even understanding what self-care looks like, and therefore what self-love comes to be in your life. And then it was the next kind of stages of becoming your own best friend, and really, you know, speaking to yourself with kindness and with compassion. But like I say, I needed to be shown what that was. It wasn't enough for somebody to say, look after yourself, love yourself. I needed to know what. And that's why I wanted to do it in the program, was to give people moments where what they were doing were acts of self-love, but they didn't know it until they're feeling them and they're starting to deepen that connection with themselves.
Yeah, I find that a lot of people, really, because our identities have been stripped away for so long, we don't know who we are, you know, out of the relationship. A lot of people say things like, I don't know what I want. I don't know what I even want to eat. I don't know what I want to do. I don't know what I like to do. I mean,
it's clothes to wear, how to have, you know, even, I think that's the thing with the trauma bond, is that kind of classic thing is that if, when you're going to the hairdressers and you're thinking about what kind of haircut they would accept or how they would respond to your hair, then there's a good chance that there's something there that's still to be released. And it can be years down the line, you know, there's In actual fact, many of the ladies that I work with do come to me years down the line because they've just not let go of this trauma bond, and therefore it's impacting them, and they're starting to recognize that it's having a detrimental effect on their life in so many ways. And those are the kind of long term, there's this like short term impact of the trauma bond that I work with those ladies, you know, it's very much about breaking those physical dependencies, those patterns, that kind of addiction, and working to do that and then moving through the phases. But with those that are a bit further out of the relationship, they are experiencing things like just not being able to hold boundaries at all, or not feeling like they could enter into another relationship, still having a lot of fear around entering into another relationship, still having really low self-esteem and low self-worth, all kind of long-term hangovers of having been in this very intensive, very detrimental attachment to a person that was harming you.
Right. What do you feel like is something, words of wisdom, I guess, for people who would say that are in that kind of situation that you just described, where they feel like they're never going to heal or they're never going to break the trauma bond? What would be something like, if you could, you know, you one time, what would you say to
something them? That I think is really a really kind of important thing to get our head around when it comes to the trauma bond is, when we're letting go of a trauma bond, we aren't really letting go of a connection that we formed with another person. What we're doing is letting go of the version of ourselves that formed the connection with that person.
Wow.
And that takes an awful lot of inner strength to do that. But when we let go of that version of ourselves that was attached, or that was involved, or that experienced the abuse, and we open up that space to become, just take a step closer to who we are and our authentic self and our resourced and our strong and our incredible, amazing self, that's when we are able to really let go.
Yeah, I love that, because, you know, I always say things about this where we are that, you know, perfect, authentic, true light, and all the other stuff just gets piled on top, and we're just peeling that back to get back to who we are. So I love that wisdom, and I cannot wait to hear more of the things that you do, because I know that you are helping people and that you are just a light for this world and a beacon of hope for people that need this help in breaking their trauma bonds. So I'm so, so happy that you've been able to be here and share this story with us and all of the insights and wisdoms. I do want to, because I love to ask this question of my guests, what is something that not a lot of people know about you that they might be surprised?
I don't know. What's something? Well, I am currently on a journey to become a surrogate for other people. So that's one of the kind of amazing things that has come out of this whole experience, is that it's opened up the opportunity in my life for me to be help somebody out, help another family to grow and have children, because I've been absolutely blessed with my two girls that I had really, well, I was saying about having a textbook relationship with a narcissist, I had textbook pregnancies and textbook births as well. So I was really blessed that I had really, you know, calm, peaceful, you know, completely trouble-free experiences with pregnancy and birth. And so I've always had this feeling that once I'd carried my first daughter, I always thought I could really do this for other people, because I really enjoyed the whole process. My second daughter was an even bigger surprise than my first daughter, but afterwards I thought, wow, what an incredible thing that I can actually do this. I didn't feel like I could ever do it inside a relationship, and certainly not with somebody that was abusive. So this time in my life where I am single and I just look after my girls, and I'm connected with a family that I can help them to have a baby. So in the next few months, that's the kind of the plan. So that's something that not a lot of people know.
That is so exciting. And what a gift to that family. That is amazing. You are just an amazing person. I'm so happy that I get to know you and that I bring you and your light to my listeners on this podcast. So what I would love to know more is, where can people find you? How can they get in touch with you? Tell us a little bit about that so that anybody can reach out to you if they want to.
Yeah. So you can find me on my website, youreasylifecoach.com. You can find me on all of the socials. On Instagram, I search for Your Easy Life. It's never such a complicated handle that I had to have in order to get it. But yeah, it's Your Easy Life on Instagram. You'll find me. And then if you want to follow me on TikTok or on Pinterest or on YouTube, you want to be looking for the Trauma Bond Expert. So that's where you'll find me there. I've got an online self-paced program that's available for anybody to start right away. So that can be found on my website. So if you've been listening to any of this and felt like you would like to take some action, then that is the first place that you'll find a way into that program, which is lifetime access, self-paced. I share lots of information about the trauma bond in really manageable and easy to digest videos and audios, because like I say, I know all too well what it's like to be busy, and videos that are an hour long are just not practical. So they're all an average of about 8 minutes. So it's really manageable. And also you get that weekly done for you planner. Based on your trauma bond type and your processing style, you'll get all the actions with links into the library. So you literally just have to click it and do it and trust it and enjoy the benefits of it as you start to let go and release and come home to yourself.
Thank you so much for being here and sharing all of your infinite wisdom and knowledge about the trauma bond. I think this is going to really be helpful. And please, please reach out to Eve at youreasylifecoach.com or look for her as the trauma bond expert. So thank you, Eve. I really appreciate you being here with us today.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been great.
Thank you for being here with me today in the Emotional Abuse Recovery Podcast. I hope you found value here with me. If this podcast episode was helpful to you, I'd love for you to hit subscribe and leave me a review. My goal is to help you go from feeling stuck to set free. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook, and you can check out whentearsleavescars.com for more resources and information help you with your own emotional abuse recovery. Until next time, here's to believing in